Thank you, yeah, thank you.
Okay, so Simon's now going to come bring the message about Jesus coming to heal the sick. So, as I said earlier, it's going to be an exciting time. I'm just going to pray for Simon, that God really uses him and speaks to him. I know he's done a lot of prep, but he's also a bit nervous because it's an important message. So, Lord, be with Simon. Lord, I pray that he will bring the message clearly. Pray it will be full of faith, but full of wisdom, Lord. And, Lord, thank you that we can anchor it from what we know from the Bible and from our experience of your Spirit. Please help him. Let him and speak to him and speak to us afterwards, Lord, as well as we seek to minister and pray for those who are sick. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Can you hear me okay? Sounds a bit weird here with this behind me. Okay then. So the full passage reads, taken from the New Living Translation, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with his Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And at this point, I need to get my glasses. I always forget my glasses. So, I spent a long time actually thinking about this. I've not done a Bible study quite like this one before. And I want to be authentic. I want it to, you know, I don't want to look a plonker. thank you. I want to get it right, but I want to come, you know, I want to talk to you about some things, you know, from a place where I've been, if that makes any sense, and some of the things I've tried. Yes, indeed. We'll have a chat later, Amber. On the way home, so I've been thinking about it on the way into work. I've been thinking about it on the way out of work again. And on one of the ways out, I was praying. I was listening to worship music, and I was thinking about, you know, when was the last time I prayed for somebody to be healed, and what was the result of that, and things. And my mind was drawn straight away to two colleagues I've got who work in my office. One was on crutches at the time, another who's got a tennis elbow, and the lad with the crutches has got a knee problem, the muscles above his knee, and it was really quite sore, called Matt, he'd been told to rest up, and so he wasn't able to go out. And Laurie had tennis elbow, and so it affects, you know, you reaching, it affects your gripping, it's in the muscles just here. It's really very sore. He's had it for 6 months, and he's had, you know, all sorts of, you know, injections and physio and everything else. And so in my mind, it was going to be straightforward to sit down and pray with them. And of course, I've obviously got overcome my initial reluctance and nerves, if that makes any sense. But what a great testimony it would be if I was to come and be able to talk to you about healing somebody at work, if that makes any sense. I've never tried to minister to somebody like this in a workplace setting before. And to my mind, you know, when I'm driving home, they're healed already. So unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to pray with Matt, but I did get a chance to pray with Laurie. And it was one morning before we were due to start work, actually. I talked to him about, they know I'm a Christian. They know I'm part of the Christian Police Association. It's quite a regular topic in the office. And so I said, well, I'm doing this preach on healing. And I talked to him about, what I've been learning, what I've been reading about, and how, God loves to heal, and what that process looks like. And so I said to him, could I pray for your arm? So he said, yeah, lovely. I'd love that. You know, I think he got to a stage where he doesn't know when this is going to finish for him, if that makes any sense, because it's just been going on so long. And they've suggested some other things, and he's not quite certain about that. So I put my hand on his arm, and I prayed, and nothing happened. So I said, that's fine. You know, nothing might happen first time. It might be progressive, you know, et cetera. So I offered to pray again. I'd also said, actually, that God doesn't heal, but I'd like to see what God wants to do in the situation. And so I put my hand on there a second time and prayed. And he said, oh, something's feeling a bit different there, just about there. He said, the pain's about the same. And I'd used a pain gauge. So he told me it was about 6 out of 10 on the pain gauge. So actually, it was quite, you know, it's quite sore and it's there all the time. So I prayed again. You know, something was, you know, something was changing. Something felt a bit different. I prayed, changed again. And after I'd prayed, he was going, oh, like this. And so I said, well, you know, how's it feeling? He said, well, it's feeling about the same. So I said, well, let's leave it. I'll come back to it later on. So I came back to it later on in the day. And I said, how's it doing? And he said, it's worse. And I've never prayed for somebody before now and made it worse. And now I'm feeling like that plonker that, you know, that I started off by referring to. But I'll come back to the story. Come back to the story. So anyway, how are we doing with healing? Do you believe in healing? Oh, that's good. It wasn't meant to be a question, an answer, you know, a question you answered for me. But imagine, let's just imagine that we've got off God coming down. Not Ofsted, off God. And he's going to ask us a few questions. The God squad comes down, just descends, just, you know, they're here suddenly. I don't know if any of you have been inspected before now, but they are Her Majesty's Inspectors of Christianity. Or churches, it could be one of them, it could be either one, HMIC. And I don't, you know, as part of the process, they look at all your paperwork. They have extended interviews with your leaders.
Oh, no, I'm off.
Yeah. They have focus groups with the people who've prayed for people. They have focus groups for people who've been healed. They have focus groups for the people who haven't been healed. I mean, it's, you know, they ask lots of questions. So, what, you know, I've asked that question. Do you believe in healing? Yes. Do you believe that you're a healer? Or do you believe that you're not a healer? Have you been prayed for? Have you prayed for somebody? Have you healed somebody? Or have you seen a healing, I should say, as opposed to have you healed somebody? Have you seen a partial healing? Have you been hurt by somebody praying for you? That's another question to ask. You know, because, you know, hurt does happen. You know, if God doesn't heal, that could cause disappointment, that could cause pain. So, I'm not used to stepping away from my notes. I'm trying to do that today. So, how does healing work then? What do we do? What do we say? Let's start at the beginning, shall we? Where does sickness come from? Why do we need healing? We must realise at the outset that physical sickness, came as a result of the fall of Adam. And illness and disease are simply part of the outworking of the curse of the fall and will eventually lead to a physical death for all of us. Jesus' healing power was foretold. It was prophesied in Isaiah 53:5. It says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. What does the Old Testament tell us further about healing? The Old Testament details very little in respect of actual acts of healing compared to the New Testament, yet God is known as Jehovah Rapha. In Hebrew, this means the God who heals. I've also heard it called the forever healing God. The context of God's revelation of his name, Jehovah Rapha, is an incident that took place early on in the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites. They had just left Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. Moses took them into the desert of Shur, where for 3 days they travelled in the desert without finding any water. The Lord was testing them and their faith. The Israelites' test in the desert was soon amplified. They came across a body of water, but to their great consternation, they couldn't drink from it. It was bitter, and they called that water Marah. Their souls began to turn bitter as well, and they grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Moses did exactly what he should have done. He prayed to God, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Following God's instructions, Moses threw the wood into the water, and the water miraculously became fit to drink. Immediately after the Lord healed the waters, he identified himself to them as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. And that's Exodus 15:26. He doesn't just heal water, though. He heals people as well. And moving on from the Old Testament text, it was also evident in the four Gospels and the book of Acts, which foretells, you know, further stories of healing. Neither impurity of body nor impurity of soul can withstand the purifying healing power of Jehovah Rapha. Every day and every way, Jesus proved himself to be Jehovah Rapha in the flesh. He showed that he was the great physician who heals the sick. So let's look at this concept of healing then. What is healing? Healing is a spiritual gift. One of those considered to be miraculous as opposed to something natural like administration. A spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry in the church. They're given for the common good and are to be used for the edification or building up, the equipping of the church. Healing authenticates the gospel message and the giver of the message. It also provides an opportunity to glorify God. These gifts are a foretaste of what is to come. The gift of healing points to the perfect health that will be ours when Christ grants to us resurrection bodies. The power of the Holy Spirit was less remarkable, less powerful in the Old Testament, but Jesus came in the greater new covenant power of the Holy Spirit as prophesied, and he came to conquer Satan's kingdom. In Matthew 4:23-25, it reads, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. What does the New Testament tell us about how Jesus healed? Well, to answer that, we need to look at what Jesus said and did. So, Jesus used his hands. I've no doubt that Jesus could have healed all the people that were brought to him with just a single word, but instead he laid his hands on everyone and healed them. That's Luke 4:40. Jesus healed through faith. It's a common theme in the New Testament. Sometimes it was the faith of the sick person, the woman with the discharge of blood who was ceremoniously unclean, went and found Jesus. And for others, and other times, it was the healing. It's the faith of the people who brought the sick person. And we've got the story of the four men who made a hole in the roof and let the paralytic down when Jesus was preaching, and he commended their faith. Jesus often rebuked his disciples for a lack of faith when they did not succeed. We see in the New Testament that the disciples anointed with oil. It says in Mark 6:13, Jesus' disciples anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. James tells the elders of the church to anoint the sick with oil, and it would appear to have been a common practice at that time. In Scripture, oil was a medicine, as seen by its use by the Good Samaritan, and a symbol of the Spirit of God, and it was used in the Old Testament to anoint kings. The elders here in Jubilee will use oil to anoint the sick if they're visiting them at home. In Matthew 9:2, Jesus forgave the sins of a paralytic man, which led to his healing. The correlation here is that some physical infirmities that we may have result in personal sin that needs forgiveness. Jesus said to some, you are healed, and to others, your sins are forgiven, but it led to physical healing. In Mark 8, verses 22-26, it says, let me read it from the book. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, don't go into the village. It's not explained why he led him out of the village, but it was the only time we see Jesus spit in the eyes of a blind man and have to lay his hands on someone twice. Jesus healed many people, healed people of many different sicknesses and disabilities in many different situations. His healing is sometimes attributed to his words and at other times to his touch. In fact, the only thing that limited his healing power seems to have been a lack of faith in the people that he might otherwise have healed. And in Mark 6, verses 1-6. We read, Jesus left there, went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. I tried to look to see how many healings Jesus performed in the Bible. There were lots recorded, and the counting process becomes quite difficult because parallel records do not always record the same details of events, and sometimes it's hard to be sure that accounts recorded are the same event or different ones. It is often recorded that Jesus went from town to town. In Matthew 4:23, it says, healing every disease and sickness among the people. And in Judea, large crowds followed him and he healed them there. In Mark 6:56, it says, in fact, wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. So in this discussion on God's healing power, how should we view the use of medicine? We should use medicine if it is available, because God created substances on the earth that could be made into medicine with healing properties. They should be considered part of creation that God considered good. We should willingly use medicine with thankfulness to the Lord. We should never forget, though, that God can heal where doctors and modern medicine cannot. There is no disease that Jesus cannot heal. How then should we be praying for healing? It is God's revealed will that we seek God for healing. He is, after all, Jehovah Rapha. There was no sickness in the Garden of Eden until the fall, and there will be no sickness in heaven. Jesus frequently healed all who were brought to him. He never sent anyone away saying that they deserved to be ill. Sickness is not sent by God to teach us a lesson or sanctify us. No earthly parent would do that, and neither would God. We need to see Jesus as revealing the character of God to us. He inaugurated the presence of the kingdom amongst us and showed us what the kingdom of God would be like. He loved us. He had compassion for us. We should seek the kingdom for ourselves and others with the same love and compassion. So I've got a video to show. Good, lovely. This is from Bethel. It's Heidi Baker and Robbie Dawkins. And let's just see what it teaches us about
healing. I was sitting down and all of a sudden my heart started pounding really hard.
Oh, not that one.
So I tried to stand up to go to my room to lay.
It's the previous one with Heidi on it to start off with. Sorry, I interrupted it.
The way I approach praying for someone for healing is God's spoken to me many times that my job's to love and his job's to heal. So I just go and love on the people. You know, I hug them, I hold them, I rock them in my arms, I bless them as a person, and I pray for their healing. With the deaf ears, it's been, in the last 3.5 years, it's like been 100% for Mozambicans in Cabo Delgado. But with blind eyes, it's probably been 70%. So with the blind eyes, we hold them, we pray for them. But we also build homes for the blind. We also build places where they're taken care of and loved. We also allow them in with great joy to be on the ministry team, to pray for the sick, to pray God would open other people's eyes. So it's always about pouring out love and compassion. Sometimes we're so interested in the end result that we forget the person along the way. And it's about sharing compassion and love. Then you can't fail because people leave feeling loved. And that's what matters.
Don't beg for healing. But we really need to tell the body what it's supposed to do. You know, this body was made from the dust of the earth. This was made from the ground, from the dirt. And that's what God gave man dominion over, was the dirt. The ground. And so we have authority over these bodies. This is why Paul could say, I put my body under subjection. You know, I put my body in check. And so speaking to the body, not from the standpoint of, oh Lord, if it would be so nice if you would just come and heal, and would you please come and heal? And I don't like the notion of God's sovereignty from the standpoint of, oh, you were naughty, you were nice, you get it, you don't. Or I like your color of shoes today, so you get healed, and you don't have shoes, so you don't. You know, that sort of notion, I think, is really broken, you know, image of God's sovereignty, because I don't think that's how his sovereignty is really at work. But what I think we have to approach it is we've got to speak to the body We've got to give it order, give it direction. And so I'll pray for a shoulder, and I'll say, I command you, shoulder, be restored by the authority of pain. Get out right now. Leave. You may not stay. And I command you, shoulder, be healed, be restored by the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, there are people that when you pray for it, now, typically for me, if it's a believer, I have to pray multiple times. That's the standard. If it's an unbeliever, I was just at a Chinese restaurant, and the waitress had a wrist brace, had carpal tunnel, and told her, I said, look, Jesus is about to completely heal your wrist right now, and that's a message to you how much he loves you and is pursuing you, wants a relationship with you. Prayed for her, instantly all the pain left. If she had been in one of my meetings, it had probably been three or four times if she was a Christian. And I believe that's because the war is greater in the church than outside. It's a battle. It's a fight. This is a fight to the death. And so contending for that healing is there. Now, we don't have the energy to do it all day. But according to Mark chapter 8, Jesus prayed twice for the blind man. You know, and he had to take him out of his environment. He had to take him out, lead him out, because, and it doesn't say this, but it gives a strong indication that it was because of the unbelief that was there. He was known as the blind man. That was his identity in that village. And he removed him from that identity, from that being pegged. But I'm thinking if Jesus gets to pray for a blind man twice, I got 15 times at least. And so take it. But if it doesn't happen, what I look at the person, I say, listen, we cannot earn healing. It's a gift. And you can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. None of us deserve it. And God has given it, and we're fighting. I'll contend with you for this. We'll fight together, you know, for this healing. But understand, if it doesn't happen, I can't make it happen. But I will do everything that the Lord told me to do in Scripture, in praying and pursuing and contending for your healing. And I believe that gets results. I believe that makes an impact on it. And the people, I was actually at this location where we're at now, and prayed for a man who was deaf in his right ear. I prayed 9 times. Nothing changed. The man right behind him said, actually, I'm deaf in the same ear. I could have looked at him and said, you know, Jesus isn't into ears tonight. I'm sorry. Just go home. But I grabbed the guy who had just prayed, I just prayed for, and I said, come back here. I said, this man needs to be healed in the same ear. We prayed together. By the third time, complete restored hearing. And he had not had hearing in that ear since he was 3 years old. And he was completely healed, 100%. I looked at the guy who we had just prayed for, and I said, now how does that make you feel? And I was expecting him to say, bummed. And he looked at me, and he goes, like, I can pray for deaf ears, and they'll hear. I mean, he totally saw it from the other perspective of God wants to do this with me. And that's the message that God wants us to have in that. And so I encouraged him, listen, you can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You know, we'll contend for it. But we're not in the fullness of the kingdom yet. And so this is just the result, you know, of that and the result of the fall. And we're just, you know, but we'll don't give up.
Sorry, there's a bit of a time delay between America and here. Did you just notice? I'm just conscious of that speaker. Heidi Baker is very strong on having compassion for people. She says it's our job to love. We can only see healing from this place. I won't touch that bit. Interestingly, both she and Robbie Dawkins use sick people to pray for sick people. Those who are blind, pray for the blind. Those who are deaf, to pray for the deaf. Well, Robbie Dawkins was strong in the methodology, and it's the same one that's taught on TSM, the course that I was on this last year. We need to pray with authority, speaking to the body, giving it an instruction. I command your shoulder to be healed, restored. Pain, he went on that, didn't he? Leave right now, by the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what Robbie said. We need to contend for the healing. And it may take more than one go to see the healing breakthrough. It does not need to be a long begging prayer, like we're trying to convince God or force God to heal in this situation. At TSM, they taught us to use a pain gauge. You start off at the beginning. What does the pain feel like now? And then you can check after the first prayer and after the second prayer, and it just gives you an opportunity to see what God's doing and to press in some more. Dare I say it, though, you don't want people to aggravate any injuries that they've got and make it worse. word of caution there. Robbie spoke to the waitress and said, Jesus is about to completely heal your wrist right now. That's a difficult one for me. Perhaps if I'd seen hundreds of healings, I may well have the confidence to say that. But I'd rather say something like, I believe in a God who loves to heal. The Bible tells us of many healing miracles Jesus and the disciples performed. Our church teaches that we should pray for the sick, that healing is a gift from God. Then I'd ask them, can I pray for you? Healing may come instantly, healing may come progressively, or may not come at all, but I'd like to see what God wants to do in this situation. I don't tell people they're healed. I let people tell me. So I've prayed and I've seen healings. I've prayed for people here in church and I've seen a shoulder healed. The last time I was out on an outreach on TSM as well, we stood chatting for a man for a long time. He had a long Christian heritage. He was a musician. But he'd fallen away from God. He'd fallen away from the church. And as we were standing there talking to him, he was rocking from one foot to the other. And it's because of his back. He had a problem with his back. And so we used the pain gauge to start off with. And after some persistent prayer, the pain went. He was like speechless. He didn't know what to say. Wonderful moment. On each of these occasions, we used the pain gauge and we let them tell us whether, what happened. I think it's important to ask people if they would like prayer and not assume it's okay. And then to ask what they would like prayer for. Again, assumptions can be made. A Christian man or woman may well have had lots of prayer for healing already for a persistent issue. And so may instead want God to reveal his will for them in that situation. It may not be for healing. It may be for something else. I don't want to follow a methodology, a work from a script and not love the person or have compassion for them. I also know that both Heidi and Robbie both reference those who are not healed, which brings me on to my next point. What if God doesn't heal? So back in March, April 2007, I suffered an injury at home. I was doing some DIY in our bathroom, and I slipped a disc. In old money, it was called slip disc. It's called microdiscectomies and things like that now. But anyway, a prolapse disc. Thank you. Yeah. I was in lots of pain with that whenever I stood up. In fact, I spent probably the most of the next 40 days lying down a lot. I remember one day putting a toast in under the grill. We didn't have a toaster. Under the grill. But I couldn't stay to wait for it to be finished. I had to go and lie down. I just couldn't see tasks like that through. I had healing. I had prayer for healing at church, but I wasn't healed. At church, it was the medical interventions that ultimately led to me getting better. But I used that as an opportunity to press into God. It was a chance for me to get closer, to seek God for His will. Now my testimony then, it's the same now, is that I can be very self-reliant. I don't need people around me. I can just exist. And I'm quite happy doing that. And sometimes it's a place I like to be. But actually, in that situation, I learned to rely on God. I've got some other testimonies here as well. Just on Friday, actually, we had an email from a sick police officer. He's got cancer, and we send a prayer email around at work. And he emailed us, and this is what he said: "Hi, I'm back in hospital. And I'm now on a new ward this time, which is nicer. This is my last round of chemo. My blood count has dropped from 30 to 4, which is good. I have a month of tests in October, and hopefully get the all clear on the 29th of October, a day before my birthday. If the tumour is still there, then they will remove it. I still have no taste buds, and these last 2 weeks at home have been hard, with feeling sick and extreme tiredness. I'm getting pains in my legs, which is caused by the steroids expanding my bone marrow. But it has nowhere to go, so it causes pain. Today, they did find a vein first time, which is a blessing, and the chemo seems to be flowing okay with no blockages. Just 3 more days of chemo, then that's it. God has been so close to me and keeps saying that the battle belongs to him, and do not fear, I am with you. He's used the opportunity to press into God. In Psalm 119, verse 67, it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." I think it's important to have faith for healing, to keep trying and never give up. But I also think that it's important to recognize that God does not heal in every situation. In the Gospels, there is evidence that when the disciples were sent out, they did not always heal. In Luke 9:40, a man came to Jesus for healing for his son and said, "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." In letters Paul wrote to the New Testament church, he makes several references to sickness that evidently persisted, his own thorn in the flesh being one of them. If healing doesn't come, it's not true to say that I wasn't good enough, that I'm not a healer, that I'm not holy enough, that I'm not chosen, that I'm not blessed, or that I lack faith. For the person that's being, you know, is being prayed for, it's not true to say that they lack faith, that they're being punished, that they're not blessed, that they're not chosen, that they're not holy enough. It would be easy to jump to that conclusion given Jesus' focus on healing, on faith. But healing is a sovereign act of God. We need to be careful that we don't leave a person worse off than when we started, feeling disappointed, hurt or rejected. This is especially important for new believers. In each and every case, it's God's sovereign wisdom that decides the outcome. It is a gift. And our role is simply to contend for it and to keep contending for it. God may well have a bigger plan than physical healing. God's answer is sometimes different to our question. We are not loving a person if we have prayed healing for them with an absolute zeal for a complete healing and they're still left sitting in their wheelchair or their arm is in a plaster cast wondering what has happened or why healing has not come. We also should not leave people doing things that put themselves at risk or believing things that leave them at risk. We do not, for example, want people to stop following a course of medication or treatment, like with cancer, for example. In situations like this, it should be the medical professionals who know the miracle first. The whole experience should be one of love. We are commanded to love. And they should go away feeling something different, whether they've been healed or not. Some people need physical healing, but others need emotional or spiritual healing. I think by coming alongside people and being church, loving people, involving people, accepting people, this can bring a whole lot of healing just by being around people, just pulling them in close, hugging them. We must remember that we are between times. The kingdom of God is coming, but not fully here yet. We need to remember that Romans 8:28 is still true. That we experience the sufferings of this present time and groan inwardly as we await for the redemption of our bodies. Nonetheless, we know that in everything God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. James encourages us in 1 verses 2 to 4. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Whether God chooses to heal or not, we must remember to give thanks in all circumstances. You could sum up Jesus' ministry in three areas: teaching, preaching and healing. The latter showed his concern for wholeness. His miracles of healing authenticated his teaching and preaching, proving that he truly was from God. He was the good news. The good news is that the kingdom of God has come, that God is with us, that he cares for us. He wants to heal us, not just from our physical sickness, but our spiritual sickness as well. There's no sin or problem too big or too small for God to handle. Jesus equipped his disciples to heal. In Luke 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." In Luke 10, verses 1 and 9, it says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you.'" So during this last week, I was on the way home again and I was just praying about this this preach. I hadn't finished writing it at this stage. Again, I was just seeking God and for it. And I had a picture Well, in fact, I saw what happened first was I saw this very old, lovely B Reg Mercedes estate. Some of you weren't born when these were around, but it was a lovely car, and straight away after I'd been just open to what God was saying, my mind was drawn to the chassis of the car, and if the chassis, you know, is old and rotten, crumbling, you know, the car will eventually break apart. But in my mind, in the picture, you know, the mechanic had a club hammer. And he was pounding the chassis, and the chassis was strong. The chassis withstood the attack's not wrong, but it withstood, you know, that test. And that was a picture for us. That was a picture for us that said that healing is what I think is one of the basis of the church. Healing is still strong. We can build a church upon it, and it's a picture for us here. That we should be using healing in our services, in our ministry to one another. So then what should we do? We, you, can you hear me okay? Yeah, you, have been equipped to heal. You may not think it, but you are. We're all disciples. We should continue to pray for healing, to use the authority given us and to seek God for this gift in our church and beyond. In 1 Peter 4:10 it says, as each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's very grace. And we should use them in proportion to our faith. In Timothy 1:4-14, Paul tells Timothy not to neglect the gift that is in you. Part of my TSM experience was that they saw healings in church first before that was transferred out onto the streets of Bedford. So let's pray for people here in our services at the weekends and in our small groups during the week. And then let's take them out from there into Aldershot, to our places of work, into our families. Let's be loving. Let's be compassionate. Let's be aware that God may be using a situation with other purposes in mind and may not bring healing. Let's leave people knowing that we care. Let's bring people hope. Let's do it well. So I prayed for my colleague again on Friday. He was open for it, so why not? Things could only get better. And it was at the end of the day, and you know, he's a big man. He's 6'5". He's got hands like spades. And so my hand seems small on his arm, if that makes any sense. But I prayed. And after the first prayer, he said that there was something definitely happening and that my hand felt like the ultrasound that he'd received treatment for, if that makes any sense. And so I prayed again for him and again. And at the end of the day, I prayed once more, if that makes any sense. And he shook my hand at the end of it. There was a definite improvement in the condition, and I hadn't used the pain gauge on that. These things don't happen all, you know, as smoothly and as perfectly as you'd like them to be. But actually, there was definite improvement. He shook my hand on the way out, and I think it's probably as good as it was before I started to pray the first time the week before. but actually, you know, God's been faithful in that. But I commanded that limb. I commanded that limb to be healed. And there was something happening. There was something going on. And so I'm going to use that. And if I hadn't been doing this preach, if I hadn't been doing this study, I wouldn't have had that conversation with God that says, you need to take that into your workplace. So I don't know where it's going to go from here. He's going to probably tell everybody. But anyway, there we go. That's another issue, another day. I've lost where I am now. God is sovereign and healing a gift to us. I want to be teachable in this and be open to what God is doing. I'm very thankful for being able to do this with a colleague and be open, and for him to be open. In fact, it was easy. I've said this before. You know, you might fear that conversation with somebody. You know, you might fear their reaction to you. But actually, I've not ever suffered an adverse reaction when you're speaking to people. God's in it. We should celebrate on all occasions when we step out like this. We need to bring our testimonies to church. We need to share them with a home group. And we want to celebrate with you. It's a good thing. Satan doesn't want us to be healing people. He doesn't want us to be healing people in church. And that's perhaps where we need to contend for it most. That's what Robbie said. And he doesn't want us to be healing people in the on the streets. When we were praying this morning, there was a sense that Satan was against us, and he really didn't want us to be preaching this, to be teaching this. He was against this. He's in opposition to us doing this, to bringing the good news, to glorifying God. He doesn't want any of that. So, as we close, as we move into worship next, I should say, I've got something for you. I want us to seek God for healing. I'm using my notes from TSM here. So let's ask God for pictures. Let's ask God for words of knowledge. Let's see what God places in your heart. Let's ask God if there is somebody here that needs healing for a particular thing. And so that might come as something specific for somebody. It might come as a pain in the part of the body that's odd, that comes on straight away. It could be a picture that you have. It could be a memory. God will use these things. God will speak to you in those ways. But actually, as you just take the time to ask God, to seek God, just be mindful of where he's taking you, where your thoughts go, because that might be pointing you somewhere. Then ask God, who it's for. Is it a man or a woman, if that makes sense? This is for you young people as well. Good, lovely, all heads bowed. It's not just for adults, this stuff. This is for everybody. This is for everybody. And then come and share this. Come and share this with Steve and Joe. We'd like to call people up for prayer. If you'd like prayer, we'd love to pray for you. So come forward as well. Thank you. I'll just as the band come up, I'll just pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity just to celebrate one of the great gifts you've given to this church, to your church, Lord. We want to be strong in this, Lord Jesus. We want to grow in this. We want to bless with this, not just people in the church, Lord Jesus, but the people that come across our paths every day. Help us to be loving. Help us to be compassionate. Help us to be open to your Spirit, Lord. Help us to be aware that you don't heal in every situation, Lord. But we want to honour you in all the work that we do, loving people and being compassionate for people. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll speak to people, that you'll give them words, that you'll give them pictures, that you'll equip people, Lord, to heal. Raise people up to heal in this church, Lord, with your healing gift. I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Simon. That was a great message and stirring faith for healing, and also it's really good to take it through from the Bible as well, about what the Bible teaches about how God does heal, how it's not just a simple click and everything happens. That we need to be persistent. So let's worship. Let's be sensitive. And if you're particularly on the first couple of songs, don't just worship God, but also listen. And if you've got things, come and share with myself and Joe. And then we'll go on from that. And we'll look to be actually praying for people too a bit later. Okay.
To stay seated. This next song maybe isn't as familiar to people. Some of you might know it. Just really felt that the Spirit wanted to use this song to minister to people. So maybe as we reflect on what's been spoken and that response, just let these words just let God speak to you through this song, and then if you do know it, do join me.
to the water, come to the water. Come all you broken hearted, come to the Father, come to the Father. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the water, come to the water. Come all you broken hearted, come to the Father, come to the Father. Unfailing love is waiting for us. Come to the water, there's always enough. Unfailing love is waiting for us. Here at the water. Find your rest, find your freedom. Here at the water, arms of grace, eyes of mercy, this is our Father, this is our Father.